Wild night last night. Wild Thursday night. Heck of a World Series game, too. My goodness. Nuggets get not a desperately needed win on the road, but you need to start winning games like this on the road. So that was big for the Nuggets. And then Thursday Night Football was, it was okay. I mean, at halftime, we got a tie ball game. And then Houston had some opportunities there late, but Philadelphia still undefeated. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Wild night, man. What did you watch? Did you watch Nuggets? Is that what you stuck with on, Gel?
I actually had all three on.
Did you really? So I had
the baseball and baseball and Nuggets on the TV, split screen.
Uh-huh.
And then I had Thursday Night Football on my phone.
Listen, yeah, I mean, it's the way to do it. McCormick, did you see that catch he had in the ninth inning? Now, I took the Astros, so I was like watching it. I'm thinking, uh-oh. That's rough. And then McCormick comes up with a monster catch. That had to hurt, too. He went smack dab up against that wall. I love it when it works out like this, when you just have great games and great moments in the playoffs. Not blowouts every night, 5-0, but tight games where at any point, just a swing of the bat could change everything. And it did feel like that. It felt like that the Phillies might turn that around. Now, two games in Houston. It's done, right? Houston's going to win. I mean, I can't imagine them not. So the next game, game six, is tomorrow night, 6:03 in Houston. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And you know what? It was a big night last night for Nikola Jokic. We knew it was going to happen at some point. It did happen. He passed up Wilt Chamberlain. With 79 triple-doubles. Wilt Chamberlain, of course, had 78. And Joker is now... What does that put him at? Is it sixth or fifth in triple-doubles? I know LeBron James is right in front of him now at 105. That's the next one. So he's sixth, and LeBron's sitting at fifth with... is it 105? That's the number?
Yes, 105, and then Jason Kidd at 107.
He's going to pass both of those maybe this year. But for sure in the next 2 years, assuming he doesn't get hurt. There is a new style, though. I'll tell you right now, Angel. I'm gonna make a bold prediction. Joker ain't winning back-to-back-to-back triple-doubles. He's not getting it. Or triple-doubles. MVPs. Because of the triple-double situation. He's going to get more triple-doubles. Might break his own record for most he's ever had in a season. But he's not going to get a third MVP in a row. Because the point total is not going to be there. They favor the points more than anything else. Luka is definitely on pace for that. Joker had 15 points, 14 assists, 13 rebounds. But you and I both know, what's sexier, 14 assists or 30-plus points?
30 points.
Yeah, this is the way it is. But this is a good thing. Joker had to be MVP for the last 2 years because without him, they couldn't do anything. When he was off the floor, they were one of the worst teams in the league. When he was on the floor, top five team in the West. Now he has the weapons. And now you have Jamal Murray. There were portions, I'm not going to say the whole game, there were portions of that game that took me back to the bubble. He went into bubble mode, Jamal Murray, last night. 24 points, 5 boards, he had 2 assists. Did you see his dunk? That it looks like he's going to go for a reverse layup, and he just elevates, slams it down behind his head, and dunks it. I mean, it was a modest dunk, but also amazing at the same time.
Well, I mean, when you're competing with the league leader in dunks on your team, it's hard to, you know, top that, but Jamal did it.
On Aaron Gordon, he has been absolutely... I mean, this is his game. And he was hitting three-pointers. He was 3 of 4. I mean, and every time he shoots, I go, don't shoot. Oh, okay. There we go. And then he makes it again and again. But he's making his money in the paint this year. He's playing like he's supposed to play. Angel, last night, again, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're probably better than we thought they were going to be. But we no need to freak out. Just like if they lost, we're not freaking out yet. It's still early. But last night, these are the games that you see that make you go, okay, this was the plan with the Joker. It's almost to the point where if he has a 30 point game, you're almost thinking, well, that's because nobody else is doing anything. Because Joker is a passer. That's his best ability on the floor, is passing the basketball. He is an amazing scorer, tremendous. But he's better at passing than he is anything else. And when you have the pawns, the items, the weapons to throw, to pass the basketball to, they're going to be dangerous. This is what the design was supposed to be last year, was Nikola Jokic, you know, he'll be flirting around the 20-point mark, 25-point mark, but his assist numbers are going to be up because Michael Porter Jr. is hitting threes from the corner, because Aaron Gordon is cutting underneath the basket. Jamal Murray is all over the floor, moving around. This was the plan from the get-go, and you're seeing it. It's a different style than what we saw last year. Now, I was a little hesitant to start the season because I wasn't crazy about Joker always starting from the top of the key. Get him down in the paint, let him do something. But if you can get 14 assists, yes, give him the vantage point. Give him the vantage point where he can see everything that's going on the floor. And if your players are actually going to convert when he gives them the basketball. And, dude, there was a lot of missed opportunities for assists last night. Gordon wouldn't cut to the basket two or three times. If he would have, Joker would have had him. Joker's kind of like Manning in that regard. Go to that spot. I'm going to throw the ball there. If you're not there, it's going to be a turnover. But go to that spot. There was a lot of that happening last night. Denver gets the win, 122 to 110. They are 5-3 now, back to 2-3 on the road. Good at home, we know that. Talked about the road issues. You got to be better on the road, and that's a good start. Those are the kind of games you really want to look at, finding ways to win. All right, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And the good for me, we talked about it yesterday, wanting to see a breakout-type game for Jamal Murray. I think it was the best, the first game of the season where I actually said he's back. I've seen portions of it and all that, but last night I truly looked at that game and said, okay, Jamal Murray's back. Michael Malone knew it. Jamal knew it. This team knew it. Hell, I think even the Thunder fan base knew it. Jamal Murray is back. The bad is, well, if you're a Phillies fan, I mean, you're getting pretty excited in the ninth inning, and you're thinking maybe you got an opportunity here. But McCormick leaped up against the right center field scoreboard, secured the catch of his life, and that play, assuming Houston goes on to win this thing, that's going to be a play that's remembered.
Fly ball right center field. McCormick on the move. He's at the track. He's at the wall. Makes the grab! Chaz McCormick! Two gone in the ninth!
Chaz McCormick. Just, I mean, what a play. I'd just like to be him in that moment. You know, you just stole the game back. Like, they were winning and everything, but there's an opportunity for the Phillies right there. And it's just, that was a game. That was a moment. I live for those moments. As a sports fan, you live for those kind of moments, whether you were rooting for the Phillies or not. But that was a bad way for the Phillies to lose when you get that close to it. I think the Yankees had a game similar to that in the playoffs. My ugly story today, John Rothstein. Is it Rothstein or Rothstein? I'm going to go with,
I think it's Roth.
Rothstein. Wyoming's Graham EK will miss an extended period of time due to a lower leg injury. That is huge. Not in a good way. That sucks so much. We already talked about Isaiah Stevens. It's missing probably a few months for Colorado State. Now Graham EK was projected to be the Mountain West Player of the Year. And now he's got a lower leg injury. He averaged 19.5 points per game and 9.6 rebounds per game last season. And I've had people argue with me on this one, but I think he could be an NBA talent. This is certainly going to hurt because you needed this year to kind of, you know, assert yourself and put out a good resume to potentially get drafted. FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products pull question of the day. A little UNC Bears related here. Will Ed McCaffrey be back next season as the head coach of the UNC Bears? The Bears have three games remaining. Obviously, they've had a very rough stretch, getting kind of annihilated each and every week. Is it a four-game losing streak? And those have been so bad. It's not like they're close and a touchdown, a couple scores away or anything like that. These have been ugly. And so it just kind of makes you wonder, with everything that's gone on in the last few years, maybe the last year, you know, Angel, even back when he was hired, it was exciting for a while, right? But then you start walking around town and there are people like, does he even live in Greeley? You heard that stuff. Go out and talk to donors, people that are involved in the program, fans of the program. There was that question. Now, I'm not here to answer that 100%. I do know that he has a place here. And from what I know, he is up here quite a bit. But that was source of some drama there. And then, of course, you had the Tribune article that came out a year ago. That was tough. There were some serious allegations about withholding or taking away financial aid, which was proved to be not true, which is the big thing, because that gets you into serious trouble. But there were players. There were players that were frustrated and left. And some players did say things like, I wasn't crazy about his offense. It didn't feel like a Division I offense. And yes, players reached out to me. Anonymous players reached out to me and said similar stuff. Now, I've sat with Ed McCaffrey. I've seen his playbook. From what I can understand, I haven't seen everything, but I've seen a good chunk of it. Yeah, looks complicated enough for me. So I'm not going to be the one to tell you that it's not, that it's a high school offense. I would probably say no. But for whatever reason, this isn't working. And he hasn't been here that long, but you're just starting to add up a few things here. And you just got to wonder, does he want to do this? He has Christian McCaffrey, who's now with the 49ers. He doesn't really get a... Does he go out, fly out every Saturday night after a game and go watch Christian? I don't know. He's got another kid playing college football. Now, two of his other kids are with him right now. But part of me is just wondering is, you know, I'll tell you, coming from where he did at Valor Christian High School, Christian school, private type school, they have a lot of money, a lot of funding to make the football facilities, you know, the best that they can be. I just wonder if it was like, dude, it was easier there. Here, facilities aren't the greatest. That's the state of where UNC is right now. Basketball, unfortunately, you don't need that much. You need a weight room. You need a basketball court. You got it. Football, you need a heck of a lot more. You need a lot more space. And, you know, there's just part of me that wonders if this makes sense anymore, because Ed wants to win. He talks to us all the time. Of course, every coach wants to win. Do you actually know what it takes to win in college football when you are dealing with the lack of resources that the Bears have? And I think you take that job knowing that. You don't take the job if you don't know that. And sometimes I wonder if maybe he didn't know everything that went into it, that they do have to walk across the parking lot at halftime and go into the gym, go over to their locker room. There's a lot of different things. The weight room, they got the new shiny weight room now, and that's fantastic. But for a while, it was like trying to squeeze everybody in here and work out. You couldn't do it, especially splitting that up with all the other teams. 20 minutes after the hour, go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll talk about that more throughout the day today. And the Nuggets are rocking right now. We got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. And Monday Madness. I'll tell you what that means more a little bit later. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
We're going to have Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. He is our Wyoming Cowboys insider. He'll join me at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk about Graham Ike and what that injury really looks like, the details there. Wyoming had high hopes, had really high hopes this season. Obviously, they made it to the first, to the play-in side of it or whatever, the first four. What is it called? What did they get in? They weren't in the tournament, but they were in the games to get into the tournament. It was the tournament, but it wasn't the tournament.
Yeah, first four in.
First four in, yeah. They were in that game. And they went up against, who did they play, Indiana? I don't remember who they played. They lost whoever they played. But yeah, so they went in, but they didn't. They did, but they didn't. Whatever. They were hoping to really get in and, you know, bringing back all their guys, or at least those two guys, Hunter Maldonado and Graham Ike, certainly made me feel like, yeah, Wyoming's going to go dancing. They'll be in the dance again. So we'll talk to Cody about that soon. So you want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one's from Odell Brewing in Fort Collins. Isolation Ale. Pick up selection from Odell's, or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru or pop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. Love what John and Tony do over there. Dave's over there. Great group of people. And it's a great liquor store. Seriously, I know. It's like, Brady, you know, going to liquor store, why? What's great about it? It's clean. It's well-organized. Great people inside. I mean, those are big things. Well lit. And again, those are all big things. You don't want to go into those liquor stores. It feels like you're, you know, a part in a Halloween movie or something. And that happens. It's easy to do that. I've seen decent business owners own liquor stores, and it feels like that. Not at On the Rocks Liquor. Tell them we sent you from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is up at thewholeshow.com. Do you think, or will Ed McCaffrey be back as the head coach of the UNC Bears next season? 61% of the Hooligans saying no. Listen, I don't think UNC's firing him. Let me just be very clear. Because what we saw with Ernest Collins Jr. would not lead me to go that way. Now, when you talk to reporters in Denver trying to cover this team like they do CSU and CU, it's funny because they don't cover them all the time. Ed McCaffrey, of course, has garnered some of that coverage from Denver, all of that coverage from Denver. And so the way they talk, we had our guy Sean Keeler on, love the guy from the Denver Post, but even he said, will they put up with this for long? And it's like, if you look back at the history, they will. Ernest Collins Jr. had two winning seasons out of nine, and outside of the two winning seasons, we're all bad. Like three win seasons. So I don't believe UNC would move on from him unless the two just really don't like each other. And I haven't heard that or anything like that. I just wonder if this is exactly what Ed McCaffrey thought it would be. And Angel, this is the tough part when you don't first become a position coach in college sports. And I'm not writing him off like it's over and Ed's never going to revive this team or whatever, but I'm just saying the challenge is, I don't know many head coaches, do you, that went from 2 years of high school coaching experience to the head coach of a Division I football team? Does that happen often? Even in the Big Sky Conference, is that something that happens often?
I don't think it does, and you know, I've been such a staunch reporter of Ed McCaffrey and a supporter, not reporter, of McCaffrey and the team the past couple of years. And, you know, when you think about, did he expect it was going to be like this? It's hard to say because when he accepted the job, COVID happened. And his entire first year was restrictions, cancellations, can't talk to recruits, can't schedule games, can't even be in the same building with your players. And it was so much adversity that they faced. And you can, if you ask him about it, he'll tell you about it.
Oh yeah.
And you have to give him that year because that was tough for everybody. And obviously, football wasn't in the front of our minds back then. But you kind of started, you know, a little behind schedule, and you had, you know, the last 2 years to try to show, okay, this is what our program is. This is what we're going to be. This is the culture we're instilling. And we just haven't really seen the benefits of that, and benefits being wins and success.
And that's the thing. Like, it's only been 2 years of football. 3 years he's been the head coach, but they didn't play in the COVID year. They first elected to play in the spring when some FCS teams said, we're not going to play in the fall, we'll do it in the spring. And at first we thought UNC was going to play there. And then I think they even thought, man, we need more time. It's not going to work. Let's just not mess with it. So they didn't mess with it. So didn't play that first year. Do you, I mean, obviously fans, I'm not, it's different, Angel. I mean, this is different than UNC or CSU. This is different than CU. That is about wins right off the bat. So we give you 2 years. If we don't see something positive, you're probably gone. Jay Norvell next year. If by November 4th next year, we're in the same position with CSU, Jay Norvell's probably on the hot seat. Not that would necessarily mean he's gone, but that would put him on the hot seat by November 4th. If you've won two games, your offense can't score 20 points, then yeah, he's in trouble. Mysterio, UNC thought his last name was bringing big recruits and would save the program and hasn't done that at all.
I would say the recruiting's been decent.
Well, there's been like Elijah Dotson's a good player.
They've been getting a lot of transfers to come in and, you know, guys looking for one more shot at something. So I wouldn't say the recruiting's been awful. I think the name helps.
Was David Hogue here before McCaffrey?
I think he came in with him. I think he was recruited by him.
But Elijah Dotson's a good player.
Right.
Who's the stud D lineman that left?
Oh, Joe Golden.
Joe Golden. Was he a McCaffrey guy? Did he come in with McCaffrey or was he here before?
I think he was a transfer.
Because
of other guys like R.J. Potts last year, Jordan Apke this year, safety.
Well, obviously Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan, obviously.
which Dylan at the time was the biggest transfer I ever remember. What was he, a 3.5? Was he a 3-star? He was a 4-star. And he went to Michigan. And now he's here. And I guess that just goes, like, does that, it's not working. So, I mean, when you're talking about big recruits, you're competing with Montana State and Montana. And I have not personally seen their facilities, but everybody that you know in the know, our broadcasters know, it's night and day difference.
Well, if you just base it off the stadiums, they're the best two stadiums in Big Sky.
Montana could make a case for moving up into the Mountain West. Montana State, maybe. Their facilities are that good. So if you're recruiting between those two and other Big Sky schools, the Bears are at the bottom of the barrel as far as some of the facilities go. And listen, this isn't a knock on UNC. This is just the state of where it is right now, where the attention was. And this isn't based on 5 years. This is based on 20, 30, 40 years of what was the focus. Was there really ever a real focus to build sports programs up in this area? I can't answer all of that. I've only been up here since 2005. I was at UNC when they transitioned to D1, and that was a tough process, and a lot of people thought, man, just stay where you are. Don't move up to D1. That hurts the basketball program, though. That hurts the other programs that are excelling in D1 college athletics. I think the UNC Bears have a realistic shot to go dancing this year. They don't get to do that if they're D2. So when we make that argument about football, you got to be careful there, because then that takes UNC basketball out of the mix. And UNC basketball has been good. You can go all the way back to the year that people want to forget. But B.J. Hill, that was a good team. He had some good teams. Tad Boyle, of course, built up some good teams. Jeff Linder obviously did good enough to get him a job in the Mountain West. And Steve Smiley's doing a good job. Steve's the primary reason Dalen Kuntz is here. This guy that could be the Big Sky player of the year.
And it's not like UNC doesn't have six. It's not just football and basketball that we're focused on. Their women's team is good. Their volleyball team is very, very good. The soccer team is hosting the Big Sky tournament right now over in Jackson Field. So there's success in this athletic program, and you can see the players that come out of this program have success at this level, and it just hurts because football is supposed to be the moneymaker,
right?
And you're a Division I football program. You're supposed to be, you know,
at least
decent.
Once in a while.
Yeah, like every once in a while you have a, you know, 9, 8, 10 win season.
It's about football and then basketball. That's how it goes at every school. And if you don't have those two right, then you're in trouble. If you don't have football right, you're kind of in trouble. You got to have at least one of them, but you're still in trouble without football.
And a mysterious point about the name for recruiting, yeah, a name is one thing, but when recruits, when they look past that name, they want to see what's your record, what's your coaching history, who are the coaches on your staff, what is the future, what is the mindset of this program. McCaffrey is a great name. In Colorado, it's a fantastic name.
Yeah, but does it mean
anything? But it's not going to be everything.
Well, Ed even talked about it when he was first hired. He's like, it's not my name that attracts these kids. It's my last name because of Christian. And I did really appreciate that about Ed, because he's like, hey, these kids growing up didn't watch me.
Their parents did.
These 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds don't know who I am, didn't see me win Super Bowls. They have seen Christian McCaffrey win big games, and he's one of, when healthy, one of the best players in the league. So, listen, this isn't really about ripping the guy to shreds or ripping the situation to shreds. This is just what it is. And Ed McCaffrey, who called that? Nobody called it. Nobody thought Ed McCaffrey was going to be the next head coach of the UNC Bears for several reasons. What, was he even interested? And he was a high school coach. Take away his name, and you tell me that the Bears are going to go hire a guy that's coached high school football for 2 years? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. That's who you're going to hire? Marty English was up for that job. Marty English has been, you know, in the college football world, for better or worse, he's been a positions coach and a coordinator forever. And this is why I'm saying is, like, him not having any experience as a position coach or an assistant of any kind at the college ranks is a knock against you, because what most coaches that are coaching now, what they did to get to the point where they are, was they learned about the recruiting stuff. You think, like, basketball real quick. Like, Ali Farokmanesh, I bring that name up a lot. He's a great friend of mine, a good guy. He's an assistant. He's been an assistant for a while now. He is learning the recruiting process, and he's doing certain game scouts. He's not doing it all yet. But by the time he becomes a head coach, and mark my words, he will be a head coach, he already knows about all that stuff. I don't have to learn that on the job. I already know how the recruiting thing works. I already know how I have to connect with these players and all this stuff. I know about designing practices and things like that for college kids. Ed had 2 years of high school experience. And even 2 years of just high school experience is still inexperienced, even for a high school coach. But it was a good move at the time. I still say it. I stand by it. You needed a shot in the arm. You needed somebody to get excited. It was worth a try. I don't know where we are. Season's not done yet. You got 3 games left. If you win out, you go on and what are they at? 3 wins? 2 wins?
2.
So you'd get 5 wins. That'd be right up there.
We said that was a winning, that was a successful season.
That would be a successful season. And is that enough? Again, this is, to me, it's about Ed. I don't know that UNC's like ready to be done. But maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't know. Is Ed? That's the question. 39 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker coming up next of 7220sports.com. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carbacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy, and a rough way to start our Friday show here. But Cody Tucker reporting at 7220sports.com that Graham EK will miss an extended period of time with a lower leg injury. The school announced this morning. On to talk with us about that is Cody Tucker. Cody, my man, that is, I mean, it was rough hearing it about Isaiah Stevens with CSU. You hear this, and I was like building Graham up the other day, like, dude, if he has a great year, he could potentially be the next NBA star we see come out of the Mountain West. But this one's certainly a bummer for him and all the Cowboys fans.
Yeah, no question, Brady. I had actually heard this news a few days ago, but, you know, working to confirm sources and everything, you know, not just going to throw something out there.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but I obviously knew about it, so was not shocked to see that email come today. But, you know, I am hearing that it's not the end of the world. It's not nothing insane, nothing broken, nothing wild like that is what I'm hearing. And, you know, it could be one of those deals, Brady, where they have a really soft soft start to the season. You know, Colorado Christian comes in on Monday to open the campaign, and this might be more of a, you know, give them a break, give them a little bit of a, you know, relax them a little bit. There's not, you know, Duke's not on the schedule yet. Colorado State's not on the schedule yet. So, you know, just kind of ease him in a little bit. The dude works hard, man. He's an absolute lifer. He lives it. He's in the gym every single day, first guy in. So he puts a lot of wear and tear on that big body.
So, Cody, what do you know? Again, I know it's posted. You posted extended period of time. Have you heard much more outside of that? I mean, are we talking weeks, months, or is it just too soon to know anything like that?
You know, I'm not 100% Brady, and I'd hate to throw anything out there and not be dead on, and that's what I'm, you know, waiting to hear from sources. But Jeff Linder does speak to the media at 2 o'clock, and he's pretty open about these things, so I'm sure we'll know a little more, and you'll be able to tell. He doesn't have a good poker face. You'll be able to tell right away if it's panic time or this is more of a cautionary thing. So, you know, I just hate to throw out any times when I just don't know.
Well, and we'll keep our eyes out for your stuff later today then, or after 2 o'clock once Jeff Linder speaks to you guys. And what did you think of that, too? I've talked a lot about Graham, and I'm thinking, man, if he can really put together kind of like what Roddy did. I don't know that Roddy was quite an NBA guy before last year. Maybe some thought so, but he went and he got evaluated the year before last. And, you know, obviously he took enough information to say, yeah, I'm not ready yet. I'm going to come back. He turned out an amazing year that was good enough to get him in the first round. I kind of said, yeah, maybe Graham EK could do the exact same thing this season.
Yeah, no doubt. In this offseason, he went to a camp, for a Dame Lillard camp up in Portland. And, of course, Jeff Linder recruited Dame Lillard to Weber State a long time ago. And Graham was one of only, I want to say, 18 college basketball players invited to this thing, and it was full of pros and all that. And talking to Graham, he just lit up, speaking about his experience there and talking about learning what it is to be a pro. And, of course, Daniel Graham is Graham EK's uncle, so he knows all about the pro life, and he's, you know, he's had that at home, learning about that kind of stuff. So he said it was a real eye-opener, and it really let him know the things he needed to work on. He was there with guys from Kansas and North Carolina, Duke, things like that, and just a really big experience for him. And I think the same thing, he got evaluated a little bit, but also it was mainly a learning experience just to see what those guys go through and see what it takes to be a pro. And, you know, Jeff Linder doesn't mince words that he thinks Graham is, you know, arguably the hardest, impossible to guard in the post in college basketball. So he's gotten better. He's motivated by that loss to Indiana last year. Just he lives in the gym, man. I can't reiterate that enough. He's just an absolute gym rat. He lives for this stuff. So I know a lot of people are scared and worried about this news today, but nobody's as bummed out as Graham EK.
Yeah, I just hate to hear it. I mean, because, you know, I want to see the best players in this conference. I want the Mountain West, you know, to have the most light shine upon it that they possibly can. And when you lose guys like Isaiah Stevens and Graham EK for whatever, several weeks, several months, we know Isaiah is going to be at least, you know, maybe 2 months. So it's just a bummer all sides, man. It sucks.
It is. And Isaiah Stevens, I mean, you can see what the media thinks about him, you know, voting him to the first team All-Mountain West, even though they knew he wasn't going to play for a while.
Right.
He's just a dynamic guard. And you're right. You want to see those kind of guys. And Nico Medved's done such a good job down there and built that program into something special. And you know, Isaiah Stevens has a lot to do with that. So you hate to see him off the court, too.
Well, you mentioned the schedule. You got Colorado Christian coming up on Monday. I think every college basketball team plays Monday, apparently. All the local teams that I cover are playing Monday. So that's the night. But,
yeah,
you look at the rest of the schedule, like you said, to start the season, it's a little bit, you know, it should be somewhat of an easier start to the season until you get, you know, a few weeks into this thing. So this does give you a chance to catch your breath, see what it's going to be like for a little bit without Graham, put together some wins early, and buy yourself some time.
Yeah, no, you know what, I'm looking at this thing the glass half full, Brady. This team is super deep. I believe Linder said that he has 11 guys on this roster right now who've scored at least 10 points in a college basketball game. So it's very deep. Max Ogbonpolo, the freshman transfer from Southern Cal, this is a big chance for him. Jeremiah Oden, of course, a big opportunity for him in the middle as well. So really looking forward to seeing, you know, I'm looking at it as a positive in a way where you get to see more of these guys and see what they can look like without Graham and get to, you know, that's what the non-conference season for the most part is going to be anyway, right? It's just seeing who fits and seeing what your best lineup is and seeing who gets hot and things like that. And that's a luxury that Jeff Linder hasn't had in his 2+ years in Laramie. He's never had a bench before. So it's not only good in that regard to see what everybody's got, it's also good in the regard that the old, you know, iron sharpens iron thing, because now it's going to be, practices are going to be harder. You know, you're going to be fighting for your job every single day. And Jeff Linder always tells me that, you know, the best motivator I have and the best teacher I have is the bench. And I haven't been able to use the bench in 2 years. So that's going to change in a big way this year.
Coaches have to adapt. The great ones find a way somehow. So we'll see. Jeff Linder certainly is one of those coaches. Yep. Cody, my man, thanks for doing this on short notice. I wasn't going to reach out because we got a bye week for Wyoming football, but we'll try to catch up with you next week, talk a little basketball too, and see where this team is after a game or two. And I'll be watching out for you. I'll suggest our listeners do the same after 2 o'clock for more updates on all things Graham EK, my man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. And I hear there's a big football game next Saturday too, so I think we'll have a little bit to talk about.
Somebody's playing something, running around up there. Yeah, well, we're down here. We'll figure it out, man. I'm very excited. I'm excited about it. I don't know that it's going to be a good game. I'll just tell you, Cody. I just don't know that it's going to be a good game.
This might be the biggest border war for the Cowboys since 1996. CSU, on the other hand, they can play spoiler.
Yeah, maybe. That's what we would hope for, right? I'll be curious to see what that spread is. Yeah, give me a shot. What do you think that spread's going to be next week?
Let's go with 16.
16? That makes sense. I think it's, what, 24 against San Jose State? So that makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll see. Cody, my man, appreciate you as always.
All right, brother. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Graham EK will miss an extended period of time. Jeff Linder, as Cody said, will speak to the media after 2 o'clock. By then, we might know a little bit more how long that's going to be. 11:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back. I got the lunch rush coming up. We've got Football Friday coming up at 1. All that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
It's a big Monday coming up. We got college basketball getting underway for our local teams that we talk about. You know, we're going to talk a lot about UNC men's basketball, obviously, CSU, CU, Wyoming, as we just got off the phone with Cody Tucker. Yeah, a little bit of Air Force here and there and all that. We're going to be excited to get into it. Monday's nuts, dude. Colorado Christian, all this is happening Monday. Colorado Christian is at Wyoming. UNC is at Houston. That game will be right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com. CU is hosting UC Riverside. Caught up with Tad Boyle about that earlier this week. Air Force at Bowling Green. And then Gardner Webb at CSU. So Moby Madness action getting underway on Monday as well. Take your pick. My goodness, a lot of basketball happening this weekend. Lunch Rush coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.